chapter 1. We looked into the first 14 verses of the book of Colossians last week. We will be looking into the closing verses of this particular chapter, verse 15 on through verse 22. Actually, 29 of chapter 1 this evening. There'll be some things here that we want to see and that the Lord bless our hearts with. Let's take a moment and pray. Our Father, I thank you tonight just for the privilege that is ours to assemble in the precious name of Jesus Christ to look into this book that is your word. We approach it with thanksgiving and with careful reverence because it is your word. And I pray you'll bless this time we have together to look into the passage that is before us, and may it speak to every heart, every life. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every Wednesday night, it seems like that I'm shorter of breath than other services. I don't know why. But it's a good meal, folks, and I appreciate it. Well, I'm sure that's the reason we didn't have a special tonight. Some folks felt the same way I do, don't know if we got enough to sing. But you bear with me. We look into the Word of God. Precious passage. Verse 15 on through verse 29. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. By him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God that is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, for this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving to do according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Well, there's some things now that Paul wants us to see. It seems as though we might have started in the middle of a subject, and we really did, but there was a subject under discussion. And the subject, of course, is Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, we're told, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As we begin to read in verse 15, we understand that this is Jesus Christ. And there are some things that Paul wants the people to understand about him. I remind you that the Gnostics were prevalent at this particular time. They were the crowd that sang, "We're in the know," and we want to explain all of this and make you to understand that Jesus Christ is not really whom you believe him to be. And that's what they were basically saying, that he was only a mystical being, was never in a body of flesh, and only became the Son of God at a fixed time as he was moving around here on earth, and yet even not as a man but as a spirit more correctly. And so the crowd was saying, "We are in the know." Paul wants us to understand that he knew and knew who Jesus Christ is. And he wanted the Colossians to know who he is. And so immediately he enters into the discussion of the exposition of the person of Christ, verse 15 on through 22, and then he'll give us his ministry of reconciliation in the closing verses. But I want to think for a few moments about Jesus Christ and whom Paul said that he was. First thing we notice about him is that he is the revealer of the invisible God, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, that does not mean that he was a creature, but literally he was the firstborn, or the responsible one for every creature. But he came into this world and he revealed the invisible God. If you want to know something of God, I would tell you to study the four Gospels and look into the life and the person of Jesus Christ. And you'll find out a great deal about God, because he is the image of the invisible God. I want you to know that he was God, robed in the flesh of a man and walking among men. And we never want to give on that ground and in that place. It's a doctrine we always want to hold. It's not a popular doctrine, by the way, today. Truth is that over half of the preachers that are turned out in the leading seminaries of this land do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he was God in the flesh. They believe that he was only a man, and that at best that he showed some point of perfection in development and a man ahead of his day. But I want you to know that Paul believed him to be the Son of God and God in the flesh. And he is the image of the invisible God, the one who's going to make known God in this world. And if you know God today, you know him because of Jesus Christ. I remind you again of the words of our Lord himself: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the revealer of the invisible God, and then he is the creator and the sustainer in verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There's a statement that oftentimes is made, and I want to make it again tonight, is that God is greater than the sum total of all creation. He is before all things, the Bible said, and by him all things consist. So whenever folks began to minimize God and bring him down, as one fellow said a few years ago, that Jehovah was no more than a tribal God for the nation of Israel, limiting him, drawing him down to a very small image. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is greater than all, and he is before all things, and he is greater than the sum total of all creation. And that puts it in a pretty broad perspective. When we begin to think about it, truth is we haven't even measured space as we think about it tonight. It's ever expanding as far as man is concerned. As he looks out, there's new discoveries every day. And God is greater than all of it put together, and then some. And so first of all, we'll see that he is the creator. By him all things are created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And what a broad perspective this is. You read back in the book of Isaiah, and we see the seraphim as they declare the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And somehow or another, we in our minds think, well, they must have just always been around. But no, the seraphim were not always around. The cherubim were not always around. The angels were not always around. Even though they may go back into a tremendously long history. I don't know how far back they go. The Bible does not give us the key to that. It just said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When it started, he made things as they are. And in the process of time, they unfold for us. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ was around, and he started it all. And everything that's in heaven tonight, he made. And everything that's in earth tonight, he made. Visible and invisible. I understand that he's talking about principalities, powers. There is a spiritual world that we are only privileged to see as God wants us to see them. the angels are invisible to the eyes of men unless God opens the eyes of men. Now, there was a prophet of old that had a servant that saw the great host of enemy that was around them, and God opened the eyes of that servant at the prayer of the prophet. The prophet said, "Let him see the host that's on our side." And when his eyes were opened, he saw that the hills were filled with the armies of God and the chariots of God. And there was a great host that stood in their defense that were invisible to the eyes of men. And so all that great host that is in heaven that at this point are invisible to the eyes of men, certainly God created them, and it was through Jesus Christ that everything was created. And then we get down to the earth scene. When we look at it on the lower side, there's a lot of things that we can't see today. It takes a very powerful microscope sometimes to see some of these small creatures. And yet they're all made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He created all things. There's an amazing little creature, and I don't even know the name of it. Just watched a documentary on it one time. It's a little old creature that's invisible just to the eyes of man without a microscope. Has a sail on it. It lives in the ocean. And that thing will rotate in a certain direction. If it's on one side of the equator, you go on the other side of the equator, and it'll rotate in the opposite direction. Interesting little creature. What's the purpose? God only knows. But it was made by Jesus Christ. Visible to our eyes. But everything that is here, heaven and in earth, He created. And certainly then we see that He is grand in His person. And He is before all things. In other words, there was not a time that He did not exist. By Him, the Bible said, all things consist. Again, I would remind you that God's work still goes on, even after creation. He makes it stay together. It's His power, His authority that holds it together. There's an interesting thing about nature as such, as we call it. In the realm of nature, there is something that stands out, and that is that order always trends to disorder. Order always trends to disorder. And if that be true, and it is, you can put in a box with a mark across the middle of it, you can put red marbles on one side, you can put black marbles on the other side, and the first time you move it, you've got it mixed, and it'll never go back. You can shake it and move it, and it never goes back as it was before. And nature's that way unless somebody keeps it in check and in line and holds it together. There's a cry in the world today, "Oh, man will destroy the world." No, he won't. He may do a lot of damage, but he'll not destroy it because by him all things consist. And my Lord said there'd be an earth here for him to return to and take a throne one day. There'll be a race of people and several nations that will be alive and on earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ will come in splendid glory and take his rightful place as the King of Israel, the throne, taking the throne of his father David, because he's going to keep it together. By him, all things consist, and that means us as well. If you've been able to draw breath today, you have to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for it. If you have a measure of health and your heart beats today, it's because Jesus Christ decrees it, if you please, to beat today. By him, all things consist. So, Paul's straightening out a lot of the error that has been propagated around him about this Gnostic who says that he was not really a man and all of this, and not only that, but it's just basically imagination anyway. I've heard this in my lifetime, probably you have too, that we may not even be alive. We may just think we're alive. It may just all be a dream. Well, I want you to know this more than a dream. It's reality. Because Jesus Christ is real. Creation is real. And it consists today because of him. Paul wants to straighten out a lot of things, and he does so. Then he goes on to the fact that he's the head of the church, verses 18 and 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you that were sometimes enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and approval in his sight. Well, we see that he's working a work in our midst, and he is the head of the body that he has redeemed through his own blood and has brought together. Verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him, in all things, he might have the preeminence. So we see that he gave himself in sacrifice that we might be reconciled, we might be redeemed, that we might be partakers of the privilege of being a member of his church, and he's the head of the church today. And so Paul's straightening out a lot of things, and God is the means of the reconciling of sinful men unto himself, and certainly presenting us even without fault. In verse 22, we're told that he has worked through the body of his flesh, giving himself in sacrifice to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. First of all, holy. A righteousness that is indisputable tonight is ours because of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, unblameable. Nobody can bring any charge against God's elect. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then unreprovable. There's not going to be anybody that can say, oh, you're not worthy of heaven, because he's worthy. And he has redeemed us unto himself. Then we find Paul's ministry of reconciliation. And he just simply declares in these closing verses of this chapter that, first of all, he is a minister of the gospel. And it's a gospel that'll save if you don't give it up. Don't ever give up the gospel. Always hold to it. Never let folks compromise it in any fashion. And Paul himself is a minister of the gospel, and that's his purpose in life, was to be a revealer of God's work among the Gentiles. And he gave himself to that task, not neglecting the Jews nor overlooking the Jews when he had opportunity, but basically his call was a call to the Gentiles. And then his sole purpose in his ministry of reconciliation was to present every man perfect in Jesus Christ, and should be our ministry as well. To reach out with an arm of love and a heart of love to fallen man and do our best to present them perfect in Jesus Christ. Because he's able to save. And we have a ministry of reconciliation just as Paul did.